today we're going to be talking about histology, and it's going to be the study of tissues. Now, you think it'd be a study of history, but it's not. It's a study of tissues. Now, a tissue is going to be a group of similar cells that share a function. You remember that when we first started the course, we talked about how molecules can get together, chemicals, atoms get together, make molecules, molecules get together, and eventually the organelles, and then the organelles coalesce together, make the cells, and then the cells coalesce. Remember that in the very beginning? Well, when we have a bunch of cells and we put them together, then we organize them, they create tissues. And a tissue is going to be a group of similar cells. So it's really a organization, if you will. So what we're looking at is the organization of these different kinds of cells. And so, as we said, we go from molecules to cells to tissues, put enough tissues together and organize them, and we get an organ. So organize is a lot like an organ. So an organ would be an organized set of tissues. A pathologist is going to be an individual who looks at the normal tissue, knows normal tissue, and looks at it, and looks at regular tissue in the light of whether or not it's normal or abnormal. So really a pathologist is going to be learning exactly what we are learning here. He learns about what normal is, so he can really know what abnormal or pathology would be. We have four kinds of tissue, and only four. That makes it pretty easy to think about. We have four kinds of tissue, and they're going to be epithelium. Epi is the key word here. Epi means on top. And thelium, well, we don't want to go into that. But epithelium is going to be on top. And connective tissue will be next. That will usually be below. And then we have muscle, and we also have nerve. Now, of these, probably the most simple is going to be nerve. Next simplest would be muscle. A little bit more complex with the connective. Probably, I would say, most would say probably the epithelium is probably most challenging. So when we look at the different kinds of tissue, we'll see that we have a variety of ways of looking at tissues, and looking at tissues on slides particularly. And so what we'll have is a way for us to have the different slides cut, or the different tissues cut. We either have them cut in a longitudinal section. This would give us then a longer view of whatever we're looking at. We can also look at it then in a cross section also. So either a cross section or a longitudinal view will be what we will see. And we can sort of picture, like, what, for instance, if we had a blood vessel. A blood vessel we could see in a longitudinal view as really like a tube, the side of a tube. So we see the cutting of the tube on either side. So that would be like the longitudinal view. Or we could also have just a cross-section, and now we're looking down at the vessel. So we actually see that the vessel is going to be like a circle. So you picture a long tube, that would be like a blood vessel. If you cut it lengthways, that would be a longitudinal section. And if you just cut it right straight through the whole vessel, we would see it being round, sort of a bird's eye view. That would be a cross section. Now we're going to be using both of these sections in histology in our slides because of the fact that most tissue is going to be oriented either to have if we slice through the tissue, we can have a slice through and make it a longitudinal section, or we might also cut the same tissue and get a cross section of other structures. So often when we look at a slide, we have to realize what section we want to see. Do we want to see a longitudinal section? Do we want to see a cross section? Let me give you some examples. Let's say, for instance, we're looking at muscle. Muscle is very, very important for us to see in a longitudinal section. Why? Well, because muscle is going to give us certain characteristics that we're going to be able to name. So one of the major characteristics of muscle is going to be striations or stripes. These stripes are going to occur along the muscle. So we want to go along or longitudinal along the muscle. If we see the muscle in a cross section, we're going to be looking at the top of the muscle fiber. We're not going to be able to see the stripes. So if we don't see the stripes, then we won't know whether or not it's striated or it isn't striated. So that would be an example of where we'd want to use a longitudinal section when we look at muscle. Now, a cross section is when we would want to see a blood vessel, for instance. If we're looking at a blood vessel and we want to find out if it's a vein or if it's an artery, we would cut it in a cross section. That way then we could see how many, or the layers of muscle inside of the vessel. We could see if the vessel is rounder or is it flatter. So we'd want to have a cross section of a vessel so we can really see the characteristics of the vessel. If we had a longitudinal section, all we would see is just a long sort of hole, a long sort of trench. That would not give us all the information. So you can see, you could see then how we would want to use one and then use another. Now, let's take that same example though and cut, for instance, a bone. If we cut bone, we will see that we will be cutting through the bone itself, indeed, but we will also be cutting through the blood vessels. So we can see that maybe we might have a longitudinal section of bone, but there may be a blood vessel that's coming through and we get a cross section of that blood vessel. So oftentimes when we look at slides, we'll see that there's going to be both longitudinal and cross sections. We just want to find the right area of these of the slide for what we're trying to study. Now we also are going to be looking at the fact that epithelial tissue is going to be our first tissue that we're going to be studying. We're going to be saying that it's going to be closely packed cells. So the characteristic of epithelial tissue, simply put, is closely packed cells. That means that the cells are right up against each other. That means that they're going to be having characteristics of those cells. So the cells are going to make up the tissue. They're going to be arranged in sheets. So we're going to be seeing them in sheets and also closely packed. The very, very top of an epithelial tissue would be called the apical surface. The very, very bottom will be called the basal surface. We can also differentiate between the connective tissue, which is usually going to be below epithelium, and we can say that the connective tissue bottom part is going to be called a basement membrane. That basement membrane will be between the top part, which is going to be the apical surface, and the bottom part, which is going to be considered the connective tissue. So between connective tissue and epithelial tissue, it's going to be a substance called a basement membrane. That basement membrane is going to be right between the two. Now, we want to look at epithelial tissue as an avascular tissue. Now, it's avascular because we don't want it to bleed. It's a lot of nerves in it, so it's highly nervous, and that means that you can feel well with it, as you can with your fingers. You can feel very well with your fingers because you have lots of nerves there, but you don't have blood vessels in the top of your skin, for instance. And why is that? Well, because there's no room for blood vessels, because we have these closely packed cells. So I like to use the analogy of the avascularness of when you have a paper cut. A paper cut will cut your finger, but it won't bleed, but it hurts like hell. So the cut is going to be going into your epithelial tissue. If it bleeds, then you got deeper into your connective tissue. Connective tissue is very vascular. So if you have a paper cut that doesn't bleed, you know you just got into your epithelium. Now, when we look at epithelium, we see it has a number of layers. Remember, we have closely packed cells that are going to be arranged in sheets. These sheets are going to be the layers. So you can have a simple, a stratified, or a pseudo-stratified. If you have a simple arrangement, then you just have one layer. If you have stratified, you have a number of layers. So a simple would be just a single layer. Stratified means two or more layers. And then there's another deviation from this called pseudo-stratified. Pseudo means fake. So pseudo-stratified would mean that they are really not stratified. In other words, it really isn't two layers. But it looks like it's two layers. You're only going to find this in cells that are called columnar cells. Columnar cells are going to be long cells. So they're long cells that could go in front of other long cells. So if you had a long cell that went in front of another long cell, you would think that this is really more than one layer. But in actuality, it's going to be only one layer. So you have to have long cells for the situation to occur where we have pseudostratified. So the question could be asked, you know, what kind of cells are pseudostratified cells? And you would have to say columnar cells or longer cells, because those are the only ones that can look like they are stratified, even when they're not. Now, epithelial tissue has certain features. They have nerves, as we said. There's a high mitotic rate, so it's going to go through mitosis at a very, very rapid rate. This is so that the tissue can renew itself. So this is really good because this is going to be on top of our surfaces. So we're going to be having epithelium on, of course, our skin, which we know sloughs off. So it goes through mitosis quite readily. We also have it in our respiratory tract. We have it in our digestive tract. We have it inside of our vessels. So we have it on top of many, many things. And because of this, we want that tissue to be renewing itself constantly. So that, for instance, when we eat lots of fiber, our intestines will be able to recover from having that fiber because the epithelial tissue will renew itself. We also have other functions that are going to be occurring with epithelium, such as protection, such as filtration, such as secretion, digestion, absorption, and excretion. How about protection, our skin? How about filtration, our kidneys? How about secretion, our skin as well? If you've ever had a friend who had lots of garlic the night before, and you were around them the next day, you may smell garlic. That's because it's going to be secreted through their lungs as well as through their skin. Digestion and absorption, we just mentioned the gastrointestinal tract is going to be lined with epithelium. So the absorptive aspect and the digestive aspect of our gastrointestinal system is going to be dependent upon this epithelial tissue. Also, we have excretion. Once again, we're going to be looking at the urinary system or the bladder kidneys. Speaking of the bladder and kidneys, when we get into the shape of epithelium, we'll see that there's a special kind of shape in the bladder. So epithelial cells are going to have different shapes. We already talked about the fact that we can have a columnar or a long cell. We said that's going to be occurring in our pseudostratified. Remember we said that we have, first of all, we have our layers, and then second we're going to be talking about our shapes. So first shape is going to be a squamous or a flat or squished shape. The next is going to be called cuboidal or cube-shaped. And then the next is going to be the columnar or tall and cylindrical. So those are the three basic types. But just as we had a deviation in the layers, we also have a deviation here in the shapes. Whereas we have transitional. Transitional is going to be a transformation from cuboidal to squamous, and they're going to be sort of like having the ability to have pressure put on these cells without the cells breaking apart. Remember, the characteristic of epithelium is that they are closely packed cells. So if you have closely packed cells and you put pressure on them, you would think that the cells may open up, and they would. So you need a special kind of tissue, well, let's just say a special kind of shape, to assist in a organ, the bladder, that has to have pressure put on it. So when you increase your urine, you have lots of urine in your bladder, that the bladder has to maintain its shape. It can't have its cells opening up. So because of that, you have cells that are sort of puffier. So as the pressure is pushed on the cells will flatten out. This will prevent the epithelial cells from breaking apart. So you don't want to pee in yourself, for instance. That wouldn't be good. So in the bladder, then, we have this sort of transitional tissue. So we call this transitional epithelium. And that's going to be in the bladder. And this is really not a cell shape so much as is more of a functional kind of designation. Now, when we name epithelium, what we're going to be doing is giving it a first name. We're going to give it a middle name. last name. The first name is going to be always, 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 how many layers do we have? The second name is going to be what is the shape of the cells. And the last name is going to be our family name. The family name is going to be epithelium. So just like we have a family name, like my family name is Stouter, and we also have a first name, my first name's Leo, and we have a middle name, my middle name's Benjamin. But we all have, in our family, we all have the same last name. So too, epithelium, same last name. So my first name, Leo, would be the same as the layers. So when we name an epithelial tissue, we start off with how many layers does it have? If we have just one layer of cells, we would call it what? Simple. Now, the next middle name, mine being Benjamin, but in this case, let's say that the cell is squished. We would now say that it is simple, squamous, the family name, epithelium. So one layer of squished cells would be called simple for one layer, squamous for the shape, and epithelium for the family name. If we had long cells that are cylindrical, and we had one layer of these long cells, the first thing we would say is that it's one layer, therefore it's simple. It's long cells, so those are columnar, and the family name is epithelium, so it would be called simple columnar epithelium. Now, let's say that we have cubed cells, and these cubed cells are going to be in multiple layers. Now, we don't have one layer, we have multiple layers, therefore it's stratified. It's stratified cubed cells, so it's going to be stratified cuboidal, and the family name, epithelium. So you can see how we can name epithelium by its the layers, by the cell shape, and also by the family name. Now, sometimes we modify our own names, like in my case, I'm a doctor. So it's Dr. Leo Benjamin Stouter. So sometimes we also do the same thing with our epithelium. Sometimes we need to modify parts of it. So sometimes we will say, if there are finger-like projections coming off of this tissue, we'll say that it's ciliated. So now we modify it with ciliated, simple columnar epithelium, for instance. So we'll just modify it. Some people have doctor, some people have mister, some people have missus. So we can modify the name as well in epithelium. Now when we look at simple squamous epithelium, we see it's going to be on top of things. It's going to be just in one layer. This example is going to be inside of our vessels. Inside the vessels is called a special kind of epithelium. It's a simple squamous epithelium, but because it's inside the vessels, we call it endothelium. Endo for inside. We also have simple cuboidal epithelium. Now, when you look at a slide of simple cuboidal epithelium, you'll see that there's only one layer of these cubed cells. But you'll look here and you'll see that there's going to be a representation of our cross section and our longitudinal section. If you look at the round holes, you'll see that those guys are going to be representative of the cross section. Whereas you have a long tube, and now you have a longitudinal section, so what you're seeing is the wall of the tube on either side. So you've seen both the representation right through the middle of this drawing of a longitudinal section. You're also seeing the representation of a cross section. These are kidney tubules. So this often occurs, as I said, in histological slides, that you'll see cross sections and also you'll see longitudinal sections in the same slide. Now when we look at columnar epithelium and we have one layer, we call it simple. So that's going to be simple columnar epithelium. Now simple columnar epithelium can have characteristics wherever it is. Like for instance, if it's in the intestines, it may be modified. And it may be modified so that you can increase absorption with microvilli and villi. Villi and microvilli are going to be where the surface is going to enfold on itself. And when it does that, it's going to increase its surface area because it's going to be going up and down and up and down. waste. It's sort of like having a little bit of land. And how are you going to make the most money out of that little bit of land? Well, you could sell a house on that land, or you could build a big condo on that land. So you're going to be increasing your, if you will, surface area by putting a condominium there. You're going to be making more money. So too, by having villi and microvilli on top of the cell, you're going to be increasing the surface area. Therefore, you're going to be able to have increased amounts of absorption. Now we can also modify this simple squamous, or this simple columnar epithelium, with goblet cells. And goblet cells are going to be those cells that are going to be very, very beneficial in creating mucus. And mucus is going to be something that's going to be very important, particularly for the intestines, because you want things to flow through, sort of like a lubricant. You know that you have also mucus in your lungs. If you've ever had an infection, you cough up this mucus. So these goblet cells are going to be not only in our respiratory system, but also in our digestive system as well. And if we look at a representation, just look at this drawing, and you look at the right side, you can see that there is a representation of an upside-down goblet, an upside-down drinking glass, an upside-down wine glass, or even in this case, it looks more like an upside-down brandy snifter, where you have the opening on the bottom, and then you see on the top how it sort of goes into a stem of a glass. You can almost imagine that there's also a little plateau there where the glass would sit on. So this would be considered a goblet cell because it indeed looks like a upside down glass. And of course inside the goblet would be would be mucus. Now, we can also, as we already said, modify some of our epithelium by putting these hair-like projections. These hair-like projections are called cilia. So we can have ciliated simple columnar epithelium as well. We can have these in our respiratory system. So imagine now that you have that cold, and you have that infection in your lungs, and your body wants to get rid of that bacteria. So what it's going to do is trap the bacteria in the mucus, and then your hair-like projections, the cilia, are going to cause that stuff to come out. So it will actually make waves. So it will actually put the waves to the mucus and will actually allow it to come out, and that's when you cough it up. Now my question is, though, that there are some mammals that don't have cilia in their lungs. And who would that be? Think about it. It's not whales, but you can think about it. And get back to me on that. Who do you think? Which mammals don't have cilia? Now, pseudostratified epithelium is going to be, indeed, that tissue that we talked about before that looks like that it's stratified, but au contraire, it's not. It's pseudo, it's fake. So it's going to be always columnar cells, as we said, because we're going to have one in front of the other. It looks like it's stratified, but it's not. And it's going to be ciliated as well, typically, with those mucus cells, those goblet cells. And we're going to find this in the respiratory system. Now, we can have a specialized tissue called keratinized. Remember we said that we can use a word in front, just like we have doctor or Mrs. or Mr. So we're going to be using keratinized, stratified squamous epithelium. Keratinized means that there's going to be that special protein, keratin, inside of that tissue. There's going to be an overabundance of keratin. Now, keratin is going to resist abrasions. It's going to retard water loss through the skin. Also resists penetration by pathological organisms. So you'd want this on the palms and sole of your feet. You also have keratin throughout your skin, but it's going to be thicker, more keratinized in the palms and soles of your feet. So this is going to be part of the epidermis. So when we look at a slide of keratinized stratified squamous epithelium, we'll see that there's going to be a very, very top or apical portion. The apical portion is where the light's going to be coming through. So the light comes through a lumen usually. In this case, we're just going to just say that there's going to be light coming through the top or the apex. That's where you want to be when you're looking at these slides. You don't want to be down into the right side of this slide where you see a lighter sort of pink, a whitish pink. That's connective tissue. When you look at the tissue, you'll see that there's like finger projections going in. These finger projections that are going in are part of the squamous epithelial tissue. It's the purpler of the tissue. So it's those purple like fingers that are going into the connective tissue. You don't want to be there because you're going to mistake this tissue. Because if you look at those cells, you'll see that they're sort of round. They look like they're almost columnar. I'm sorry, they're almost cuboidal. So these cells are almost looking cuboidal, so you might mistake this for stratified cuboidal epithelium. But we don't name epithelium from its basal surface. We name it from the apex, or the part where the light's coming through. So if we look at the apex, or the left side of this tissue, and when we go in from that real, real deep purple, you'll see that the cells that are a little bit lighter purple, they're going to be very, very flat. And that's where we get the name stratified squamous from, because we have a number of layers stratified, and we have cells that are going to be flat. Now, if we look at the apical surface again, which is all the way to the left, and we see that line of real, real dark purple, and then we go into the lighter purple, we see all those lines, and then now we start to get into cells that actually are looking a little bit more plump. These plumper cells have dots in the middle of them. That's like almost right in the middle of this slide. Those plumper cells have dots within them. That tells us that they're going through the process of mitosis. These are the living cells. The cells that are more to the left and with that lighter purple, that's going to be the dead cells. So we all know that we have dead cells that are going to be going to the surface of our skin and sloughing off. So too, this happens very, very readily in this kind of tissue. But if we go even further down those fingers that we talked about, those purple fingers, we see how the cells all have nuclei. So therefore, these are living cells going through the process of mitosis. When we look at non-keratinized stratified squamous epithelium, we'll see that there's going to be less keratin in these, but still there's going to be some. You can find this in the oral mucosa, the esophagus, the vagina. This is going to resist abrasions as well, and also penetrations of pathogens. We can also have a stratified cuboidal epithelium. Now, stratified cuboidal epithelium is going to be a variety of these cuboidal cells in different layers. Our transitional epithelium, you remember, is going to be found in the bladder. It's multiple layers of epithelium, rounder cells that are going to allow for stretching. Now, we also have glandular epithelium as well. Now, glandular epithelium is going to be, that epithelium is going to be covering or lining. Now, histologically, it's going to be usually simple epithelium, or it could be stratified. We can also have glandular epithelium, which is a type of epithelial tissue that covers organs and secretions. Such glandular epithelium would be considered either endo or exocrine glands. Now, an endocrine gland is going to be inside of us. Exocrine glands are going to have their products be exiting from us. So think of an endocrine gland as, for instance, your adrenal glands would be an endocrine gland because it puts its hormones inside of your body. Whereas an exocrine gland would be like a sweat gland who puts its products on the surface of your skin. So when you sweat, you're using your exocrine glands. They'll push out sweat on top of your body, so they will exit your body. So given this, then, we can think of who has glands that have ducts and who have glands that don't have ducts. The endocrine glands are going to push their substances right into the bloodstream, so they don't need a duct. But the exocrine gland, as we said, like for instance a sweat gland, wants to get its products onto the skin. So therefore it needs to use a duct. So ducts are going to be found in exocrine glands, but not found in endocrine glands. Now what kind of ducts are they going to use, these exocrine glands? Well, they can either use a tubular one or an acinar one. So the acinar are going to be more complex, and they're going to be usually branched or compounded. Whereas the tubular is going to be basically just a tube. It's going to be wrapping around like a sweat gland. The more complex a Sinar gland would be, for instance, like what happens in the breast. So you're going to have multiple areas that are going to have different portions for secretion. And also you could have a combination of the tubular and also the acinar. So now you have for instance, in the pancreas, you have a combination of the two. And so that can certainly happen. Now let's move on to our next tissue, that's going to be connective tissue. And we'll talk about that in just a moment.